Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. This hour, 2:30, Ned Coletti. Who better to set up the Dodgers and Nationals than Ned Coletti?
Who better?
So he'll jump on here. We'll break it down with the man in the big chair. And what we'll do at 2:20 today, we've not done this all day. We haven't done it in a while, as a matter of fact.
Let them, yeah. Give the people what they want, Fred.
Should we open the phones?
Give the people what they want.
Let people weigh in on the Dodgers season and... If they don't win the World Series, is it a disappointment? Nah. They won 106 games. 106 games. That's a pretty damn good year, any way you look at it. Most in franchise history. But if they don't finish the job, is it a disappointment?
Why are you putting it out there like that, Fred? Why are you putting that negativity out there if they don't finish the job, if they don't win?
No, I'm just saying.
How about the keys to the win, Fred?
You want to do that?
Whatever.
All right, we'll do either way. Rodney,
whatever you think.
I think you
may Let them vent their spleen, Fred.
You want to vent?
Yeah. Let the folks vent.
You better cleanse that spleen.
It's lit. Fire! Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Brought to you by our good friend Jacob and Ronnie. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. You're a good person. If you find yourself in any kind of predicament, if you're injured in any way, the one man to call is Jacob and Ronnie. 844-24-JACOB.
Accident. Or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie, call Jacob.
Guys, Kyle Kuzma might not be playing basketball for a while, but he's still up making deals. A report from Sham Sharania of The Athletic earlier today saying he signed a 5-year contract to be one of the faces of Puma. And I don't know if you guys have actually seen
the
shoe.
Yes.
What's it look like? I've not seen it.
You don't want to know the first thing that popped in my head, Fred.
Why?
It looks like something you would wear.
Ooh. Well, then they're really cool.
Absolutely. That is 100% exactly what I was thinking.
You know what's weird?
They got a big mural inside of a building somewhere that says
Yeah, and it
Kuzma.
Says Kuzma. They took like the poo out of Puma and put Kuz in there.
You know what's weird? You say it looks like the kind of shoes that I would wear?
Yes.
Okay, so back in the Stone Ages.
In the old man league?
Yeah.
No, this is what I could dump,
Community
Rodney.
Center league?
Right.
This is what I could dump. Not now. Back in the Stone Ages, who made the Pumas famous? You remember?
Clyde Frazier.
Walt Clyde Frazier wore them with the Knicks. And back then, I'm like, I want some of those Pumas.
Mm-hmm.
And I rocked those Pumas. I thought they were so cool. I loved them.
The best.
Now, did you wear a mink coat with an afro, too, like Clyde Frazier?
No, but tell you what, I was the only guy on my high school team wearing those Pumas. Eighth grade team wearing those Pumas. I love Pumas.
I've been rocking Pumas because I grew up, of course, under the influence of Clyde Frazier and the New York Knickerbockers. I'm still rocking Pumas.
Yeah.
I have low blacks right now.
Are you wearing them right now, Vic?
I'm wearing the low blacks right now.
Yeah. You got the low. Look at you, Vic.
Vic wears Pumas every day.
Everything.
Vic has like
are those the suede?
These are the suede. These are the old school Pumas. In fact, a young Zaza, 4-year-old pop superstar from the internet, she wears Pumas as well. She wears low black Pumas. Zaza. She was on with Big Boy, I believe, yesterday. Zaza wears Pumas. So it's not just basketball players like Kuzma, but young Zaza. And, of course, Clyde Frazier, the godfather of Puma. And, of course, I was influenced.
I'm looking up Pumas online. They're nice shoes.
I don't mean Pumas in general. I just meant the Kyle Kuzma version of the Pumas that were circulating earlier this morning.
Yeah, not all the whole catalog, Fred.
Yeah, Puma's fine. Puma's cool. It's just
looking at the whole catalog, standards. No, Fred.
Pumas are players right now. They have really broken into the big shoe market.
Yeah, but it's shoes are made for the 6-foot under league.
Right.
I just bought a bunch of Pumas, wanted to make sure it was all right.
Right.
YMCA 6-foot and under league.
It was like you got the Steph Currys in one corner and you got the Kyle Kuzmas in the other. Take your pick. Don't all drop your walkers at once.
God.
Oh, you know.
Oh, that was really bad, Kevin. Don't drop your walkers at once.
Oh, was my microphone on when I said that? My bad.
Yeah, that was your outside voice.
I'm so sorry. All right, so Kyle Kuzma actually played basketball not at Utah, but at UCLA or USC or LMU. He could have signed a deal with Puma while he was in college.
Right.
If it was 2023, of course, with the new Fair Play to Play Act that's going to be taking place here in a couple of years. Well, Anthony Gonzalez was a great receiver for Ohio State back in the day. He is now a United States representative. He actually wants to make this a federal bill, a federal law, the Fair Pay to Play Act. So many states have followed suit after California. Florida has some. Kentucky is throwing in some legislation. A bunch of other states have followed suit, and now Anthony Gonzalez says he wants to make this something that they do on the federal level, so the NCAA will have no choice but to be drug kicking and screaming into allowing this to happen.
I love it. I love it. I think that's where it's going anyway. I think every state's going to follow suit. We're going to see Florida. We already talked about Florida's doing something.
New York.
Texas is going to be, you know, right around the corner. I think eventually it is going to get to every state where they're going to have to really address this from the federal level. And he's absolutely right.
I dig Gonzalez. Bless you, Gonzalez, for taking this to the next level. Obviously, 2023 is when it would kick in for the California schools. But this is what's been happening for decades upon generations.
Yes,
everyone following
it, right?
California. With California, it starts, the revolution starts in California and spreads east. This is no different. Be it fashion, be it cultural lifestyles, be it political ramifications, machinations, it all starts in California and spreads east. This is just another way how California leads the country, because this has been for so long such injustice and so inequitable that people are finally opening their eyes, and, you know, bless Gonzalez for expediting this law.
Is this a situation where someone finally decided to stand up to the NCAA and hit them in the forehead with a fungo bat?
Yes.
Because that's really what's happened here. You know, you have been autonomous for so long. You have made every decision for so long, justly or unjustly. We're not putting up with this anymore. And I'm telling you, this decision right here is going to open the floodgates. The NCAA is going to have to change how it operates in all facets. Because once this goes through, if it goes through on the national level, that means you can go after them for anything now. You can claim anything is unjust now. You can regulate the NCAA. And because they were so arrogant and did not change with the times, now they are paying the price. I've said it many times. The last thing you really want is the government to tell you what you have to do. We live in America. You don't want the government to tell you what you have to do. And the NCAA, through its actions, is now going to be told what to do.
The word to the NCAA, the simple mantra, is kiss my O'Bannon. Thank you very much. Two shows nightly for Coyma Hilton.
Yeah, we're going to see a players union, athletic union for student athletes in the NCAA, in college, you know, sports as well.
It's possible. You know, Northwestern tried that a few years ago. Right. It didn't really work out well enough, but that's been a trial period at some point. So, yeah, Rodney, it's probably in the works at some point. I could see that happening.
You're right.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, some people have career changes every now and then. You're never too late, you know? You still have the ability to. You want to, maybe things get a little bit stale, right? Brandon Marshall was a wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, the Seattle Seahawks, the Jets, the Dolphins. He bounced around a lot, but he was an excellent receiver for his time out there with Jay Cutler, specifically in Denver. So he officially announced his retirement last year. He's now 35 years old. He tweeted out yesterday, actually he posted this on Instagram, "I'm about to do the unthinkable. Heavyweight champion of the world." He wants to train to be a heavyweight boxer and begin his training. I don't believe he has any professional fighting experience at the age of 35. Smart move, Fred?
No, of course not. He's 35 years old. I'm going to get in there, start knocking people around. I don't think that's a good move at all. But, I mean, you know what? God bless him if he wants to try it. His career probably will not last very long.
Oh, he's 6'5". He's long, rangy.
They'll put him up against a marshmallow or two or a cream puff. He might get one. But then if he really goes into a fight with somebody that knows how to fight, that probably would end it.
Come on, man. No, you shouldn't
do
that.
Not buying it, Rodney?
No. I mean, okay, show me if he was, you know, Golden Gloves growing up and he did a lot of boxing outside in the offseason of football and he did fights and things like that. But at 35 years old, no. And, you know, inside the NFL now, too, I think he's...
He does some work for them, too.
Yeah. Stay there. Stay there. Don't get in the ring. Many have tried thinking, oh, I can go do this because they train, but never really fight. They train, say, oh, I can go do this for real. And they get in there and they mix it up with the wrong guy.
I dig this Marshall plan. You pursue your dream.
Of course you do, Vic.
You pursue your dream.
Can you dig it?
I dig it. Didn't Ed Tootle Jones back in the day, Dallas Cowboys?
He sure did.
Went into the boxing ring. I think he got destroyed. But,
yeah, it didn't go too well.
But he pursued his dream, and that's the key. And Brandon Marshall's pursuing his dream. And let him train, go into the ring. That's a tough, go into the ring, man. That's one of the toughest professions in the world. A boxer is one of the toughest professions in the world. So, you know, bless Marshall if he can get in that ring. Get in shape.
Yeah.
It's a crazy, crazy business boxing, man.
You know, all those track guys used to want to go play football.
Right?
I didn't go play football until they took that first hit.
Mm-hmm.
Then they didn't want to play anymore.
He gets in that ring. He might suffer a personal injury. He better have 844. Jacob Imrani, ready to go.
Call Jacob.
That's 844-24, Jacob, right? Now, I know you played.
Everybody knows the number, Kevin. I don't think I have to belabor it.
Rodney, I'm sure you played against Bill Romanowski. You had
I
some
do that every single day.
I don't think anybody is surprised that Romo was coming to the defense of Vontaze Burfict, former Raider.
Yes.
Bill Romanowski spoke with a TMZ. He called the suspension BS, except he said the actual word. He also told them, you're in war. You're supposed to be able to be violent sometimes.
Who said this, Tony Romo?
This is Bill Romanowski.
Romanowski. I was going to say Tony Romo. No.
He's on the golf course, Romo. What are you talking about?
So he agrees with Vic.
No,
Bless Romo, man, for keeping it crazy real. Because Romo was a very, very prototypical violent player. That was his style. That was back in the day. So, you know, Romanowski is embracing that style because Vontaze is a throwback. But, yeah, if you play the game with that violence, with that passione corazon, you will support Vontaze Burfict and Victor Brick to get Vontaze back on the field this year and fight this draconian penalty from the National Football League.
No one's supporting you, Vic.
No.
Or Vontaze Burfict.
I played against him,
played with him in Philadelphia as well. And, yeah, he was that guy that was borderline...
crazy.
Psychotic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, you want to... borderline whether or not he was cheap shot or not. No, Vic, the game has changed, Vic. You cannot do certain things anymore. You can't head slap anymore, Vic, like they used to do, you know, with Deacon Jones and Rosie Greer and those guys. You can't do that anymore. You can't slam the... you can't go low on the quarterback and hit his legs when he's in the pocket. There are rule changes to protect guys, Vic, and you got to evolve with that. And they have been in effect. And he's a repeat offender of the same thing. So absolutely, if this was Khalil Mack, he wouldn't have got suspended for the whole year. But this is a guy that's a repeat offender. So you can't defend it.
A track record of tumult, no doubt. But again,
you never cease to amaze me.
But again, you don't suspend him for the entire season when you have guys in your league over the years who've killed people driving and they continue to play, who smash people's face in with their feet and they continue to play, and yet in this time of passivity in the National Football League, here's a guy who's going over the top. Yes, he's going over the top throughout his career. Okay, $100,000 fine, 3-game suspension. To me, that's justice for Vontaze. This is just over the top, Rodney.
No, not for a guy like that. Not for a guy that has done it over and over and over and over again.
He's going to hurt somebody.
You know what I mean?
Isn't it the National Football League?
He learned his lesson. He's changed his way. No, he hasn't. It was just that everyone said it's just a matter of time. When the Raiders signed him, it was just a matter of time before he does this. And here we are, week 4.
And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
Weekdays at noon.
Fred Rogan and Rodney P.
After the Herd.
And on the iHeart Radio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
All right, Rodney, what do you want to do now? We're going to open the phone lines. 866-987.
Let them vent it, Fred.
And what do you want to hear from Dodger fans? Keys to winning?
Yeah.
Or what? What do you want to hear?
You know, what do you think about the matchup? You know, and keys to winning. I don't want to get this pessimistic, what if they don't win the World Series? We're not there. It's going into the playoffs. What are you expecting?
All right, what are you expecting
to come up big?
Key matchups. Dodger fans, jump on. 866-987-2570.
Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan, it's time. Time, Fred.
Yeah, it is.
Let them go. Release them.
I'm the one with the blood.
Tomorrow, programming notes, talking about the Dodgers. We want to hear your thoughts. We're on from 11 to 1 tomorrow, Rodney, right?
11 to 1, yes.
11 to 1, then Petros and Money will go 1 to 4:30. Tim Cates will jump on with Dodgers on deck, and then we'll have the call, game 1 of the NLDS. Dodgers, at least we have not seen who they're going to start. We believe it to be Clayton Kershaw. We emphasize the word believe, that he would get the start, Ryu in game 2, and it would be Walker Buehler in game 3. Kershaw and Ryu have both pitched very well at home. Walker Buehler has pitched well on the road. So we believe that's why they'll do what they're going to do. Let's get your thoughts now. Dodger fans, 866-987-2570. 2570. Keys for the Dodgers now as the playoffs begin. Rod in Norwalk, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. You know, I really think, I don't know if I said this is one of the keys, but I think Corey Seager's going to have a big playoff. You know, he's been out, didn't have a spring training. I think everything's finally starting to align correctly for him. And I think as a team, you know, we've been knocking on the door the past 6-7 years. I think this is finally going to be our time. They're fully experienced, and nothing seems to faze them. You see Chris Taylor does good on the big stage, does better than he does in the regular season, Jock Peterson. So I'm excited. I really don't think anyone in the National League can stop us.
Rod, thanks for the call. So he believes that Corey Seager might be the key.
I tend to agree with him. I think that, you know, we look at the usual names and Justin Turner's and, you know, and Cody Bellinger have a big day. But I think since, you know, Corey Seager came back the season, especially second half of the season, where he's got to play on a regular basis, I think he's been phenomenal. And I think he's comfortable hitting behind Cody. It looks like he's got his stroke back. I look forward to him to continue on with his hot streak.
Jacob in L.A., you're on AM570 L.A. Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. So I just want to make a point that the Dodgers, the batters, you know, this other team's coming to L.A., and the Dodger batters got to kick back, you know, dig into the batter's box. And at some point, they got to throw the ball over the plate. And when they do that, the Dodgers got to smack the ball. That's it. Real simple. No pressure.
All right. Well, that's easy enough. Just when the ball comes over the plate, mash the ball. Jacob, thanks for the call. See, if you just break it down like that, Rodney.
Very simple.
Ought to be a sweep.
Very simple.
Put the ball over the plate, mash the ball. That's all you got
to
do.
Well, just to elaborate on that, I think they need to do what they've done all season is work the pitchers and work the count. That's something we didn't see when they played the Yankees.
Exactly.
Right? So it's play the way they played all season long. You know, get that pitch count up for the starting pitcher and then get to the bullpen, which the Nationals' bullpen is not very good. So if they play that way, I think the Dodgers would be okay.
All right, John, go ahead. You're on AM570 LA Sports.
Guys, we got to keep the strikeouts down. We got to be selective. Bellinger has got to be the key. I believe Seager will do well. I'm not sure what's going on with Turner. We have a real deep lineup. But really, this all comes down to Bellinger. Is Bellinger going to be able to lay off the bad stuff and get hot and take the pitches he needs deep? That's I think, where we got to look at. Got to look at Bellinger. Thanks, guys.
Hey, John. Are you still there?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to give you the MLB prize pack. How's that sound?
Hey, that sounds great, man. Thank you very much, guys.
Oh, yeah. You get the MLB prize pack. MLB Network brings you 2 exclusive American League Division Series games, plus live covers before and after every game on MLB Tonight. Visit MLBNetwork.com for the schedule, your channel number, then catch postseason coverage on MLB Network. John, hang tight. Don't go anywhere. All right, Manuel and Gardena, go ahead.
Manuel!
Roped and Rodney, VTBA. Today I'm naming him Street Cred Fred for the way that he reads those tweets. I love it.
I appreciate
that. Thank you, Manuel. The keys to the series are like my man said. It's Corey Seager. And then obviously it's the hammer that we know is Joe Kelly / Kenley Jansen. Nothing to fear, Dodger fans. This is our year. And we are going to do it finally. Go Dodgers. Expos got no chance. Montreal Expos ain't going to do nothing. And neither are the Nationals.
All right, man. Well, thanks. Going old school.
Yeah, Expos.
You're going Expos? You're going old school on it. Let's go. Oh, geez. All right. For those of you that have just started listening to us, and we appreciate each and every one of you, welcome Mitch to the show. Mitch, go ahead.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure, Mitch.
No, long speaker. You know, you guys like to entertain, but it's nice to take some phone calls. No, just kidding. We're in the Buffalo Bills territory here. I think we're gonna win it this year, just right. On offense. That lineup is so loaded.
All right.
No, we're not. But we're not like the Detroit Lions. With the Detroit Lions fans are always mad and angry. So we're blessed. We're gonna win it this year. It's gonna be a great series against Houston, I think.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mitch, I'm not going to sit here and let you talk about Detroit Lion fans like that, Mitch. What's wrong with you?
Hey, Mitch, didn't we give Mitch a prize one day? Didn't we give Mitch something?
I think we've given Mitch.
Yes, he did win one time. He won a Wood Ranch gift card, I believe.
He did?
Yes, he did.
All right, well, that's good for him. Okay, let's go. Daniel in Santa Ana, go ahead. You there, Daniel?
Yeah, sorry. I'm really, really positive about the Dodgers this offseason. Got a lot of guys hitting their stride right at the right time. Peterson, Seager, Belly's still doing what he's doing. Turner. So as long as our pitching can hold up, we might get the one this year.
Well, Daniel, thanks for the call. Yeah, I think Bellinger's got to come through big here.
Yeah, I think when, especially, you know, a key is, like we've seen the last couple of World Series, they've struggled with runners in scoring position. And so he's going to come up, you know, often, I believe, with guys on base. And it's a big series for him. It's a big postseason for Cody Bellinger. And I think, again, I think he's a different player in the third year. His focus is there. I think I'm looking forward to him having a big, big postseason.
Sean in Fontana, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Good.
Rodney, how you doing?
What's happening?
Hey, just want to let you know, I'm a bit concerned with starting Kershaw in our first game because he gives up a lot of big runs in the beginning. And Kirk Corbin, if he pitches the way he pitches, could shut us out. We need Ryu out there in the beginning. Shut them down and give us that first game win.
Yeah, well, Sean, and thanks for the call. Quite frankly, you know, if Clayton does start game one, you just sit there. Kind of on pins and needles.
Yeah.
Hoping he gets through the first two innings. You do that, you take a breath. I'm being honest, Rodney.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Just the way it's kind of gone for him this year, those first couple of innings have been, you know, you're sitting on pins and needles wondering what's going to happen. And it's been the home run that's been killing him. And then the postseason, you know, you've said it often, Fred, you get down 2-0 early, you may never recover from that. You know, so especially with the pitching staff that the Nationals have. So it's going to be key. But I get what they're saying. All the numbers point to Kershaw starting game one and Ryu starting game two.
And Dave Roberts has not announced that yet. Rudy in L.A., go ahead.
Yes, yes. Hey. Two quick things, you guys. What do you think about Gavin Lux being on the roster? I'm thinking maybe if Verdugo was healthy, maybe that was the difference. And the other thing is, how come the media – not you guys, but in general, if you do like a Google search, it's all about Milwaukee beating the Dodgers. Now it's the Nationals beating the Dodgers. Oh, but the Yankees are going to beat the Dodgers. Like, where's the best team on this coast and in the National League? What the hell?
Well, I think you see a bit of bias, quite frankly, Rudy. I think you see people around the country. The Dodgers have become villains. They've won so often that people are now rooting against them, and they're going to find reasons why they can't win. And I think that's what you're seeing, really. Just a bias from around the country now.
Yeah, I think either way. I think people were looking at, oh, the Brewers are the hottest team in baseball. They went on and won without Yelich. And then they look at the Nationals going, oh, Dodgers can't get past that pitching staff. And so we're going to pick the Nationals over the Dodgers. But I think you're right. I think it's envy. I think it's jealousy around the country that the Dodgers, as Fred said, has become the villains out there because they win so much.
All right, let's bring on the man in the big chair. He will supply all the answers. And if he doesn't have them, I'm sure he'll make them up. It's our dear friend Ned Colletti. Ned, good afternoon.
Hey, there you go. Great intro.
Did you like that?
Yeah. Why are you saying Ned's going to make it up, man?
Oh, Ned's good. Ned's good. All right,
make
Ned.
Make it till you make it, right?
That's it.
Here we go. Washington, give us your thoughts.
What are my thoughts? Well, I think Washington can obviously pitch at least the first part of the game. I don't know about their bullpen. If you don't have a good bullpen, you're going to scuffle. Their bullpen really gave it up a lot this year. So I think it's going to be games that will probably be close for the first five or six innings, and then I would be surprised if the Dodgers didn't get into their bullpen.
Yeah, and do you see, I mean, it's floating out there that Kershaw starts game one. Are you okay with that? Do you see that happening and Ryu going game two?
It's possible. I mean, you got three guys that are really all capable. And I think you have to set it up. If I was thinking about setting it up, it would be really what happens next in the series. You got three guys, all capable, all can pitch, all have got great feel for what they do, and in Buehler's case, outstanding stuff. So as you set up the first one, you know, who's going to be available for game four? Who's going to be a game for game five if you need it? So I think part of the process is you know who you're playing. All three guys are going to pitch. So how do you see them lining up, not just the first time, but the second time? And the home road splits are a little bit different, but I think in the postseason, you can throw out a lot of numbers. I don't know how much the numbers are going to make a difference.
All right, Ned, so when you look at Dodger hitting, will they go as Cody Bellinger goes?
I think that's the beauty of this team. I think there's so many different people. Look how Seager's played the last month. You know, there's so many. I think that has really helped the young players, whether it was Seager a few years ago, Bellinger a couple of years ago, and now you got Will Smith and you got Lux and you got Verdugo, those types of players, plus the pitchers. I think that there's so much talent that nobody feels like they have to carry it. And nobody is really going to be looked upon as it's going to be make or break depending on what they do. Lineup is solid, and I think you got JT, you got Seager, you got Pollock, who's really had a good second half. You've got so many different guys, Seager, Bellinger, so many different guys that can contribute. I don't think that it goes the way one player goes. I think it goes the way the team goes, and I think the team has got a lot of different options to it.
All right, Ned, who has more pressure on them in this postseason? Is it Kershaw? Is it Kenley Jansen? Is it Cody Bellinger? Is it Ryu? Or is it Dave Roberts? Who has more pressure of those five people?
Well, if you're going to make me pick, probably yes. Kenley, because you're talking about the closer. You're talking about the end of the game. And those are typically the toughest outs to get. So if I had to pick one, I'd probably say that. But, again, you're talking about people that have been to the postseason many, many times. And you're thinking about Washington. They finally won a postseason series. It was a series of one game. But that's the first time they've ever won anything. And their window's starting to close, too. Scherzer, Strasburg, guys like that. You know, Stras is younger than Scherzer. But you're starting to get to that point in time where you're going to wonder how much they're going to have, how many opportunities they're going to have. They got a big decision coming up with the third baseman, whether or not they're going to re-sign him. So I think if you're putting pressure on somebody, I think Washington probably has as much pressure as any team in the postseason because much is expected, great pitching, but they haven't won anything, and they're going to have another guy that's going to potentially leave at the end of the season. So rather than the Dodgers having a ton of it, I think it's really the other team that's got the most of it, plus they're on the road. They're going to have to win four games to get to the LCS. They won one last night, thanks in part to a rookie error in right field. But it'll be an interesting series. I think Washington will give them the toughest battle that they'll see or have really seen for a long time because – of the starting pitching. And Corbin was somebody that really had – the Dodgers had his number for a long time. Last four or five starts, he's pitched very well against them. So I think you got good matchups. And it typically goes the way your starting pitching goes. And I think this should be a really good series in, as far as the starters matching up. I think the bullpen, though, the advantage to me goes solidly to the Dodgers. Washington, I think – doesn't necessarily want to get into that pen unless they absolutely have to.
You know, Ned, you've made the point many times. The Dodgers just beat up on mediocre or bad pitching. It always comes down to how they hit against good pitching. And against good pitching this year, they've been okay. They haven't been great. In those situations, are you just trying to punch one across now and not swing for the fence?
Perhaps. I think that the team is obviously very capable of playing any style of game that they need to play in any given point in the game. I think they can produce runs. They don't have a ton of speed to steal bases. You know, Bellinger is probably the best base runner that they have, and a good one, a very good one. You know, they're not gonna burn you up trying to steal a base. Will they go first or third and test your outfield defense? Absolutely. I think that you do have to take probably a little bit more focus to your at bats because everybody else is focusing a little bit more, including the pitchers. They're going to always try to be precise, but never as much as they are right now. This is a time when, as a hitter, you will see what weaknesses you have because that's where they're going to attack. And whether it's analytical or whether it's through a scout's eyes, you'll see, everybody will see where their perceived weaknesses are now, and it's going to really be who can execute the first half of a play and who can adjust to it a second later. So I think that, you know, I think you do change your approach a little bit offensively. But I think that the team is capable of playing the game any way they want.
Yeah, and that approach, Ned, I mean, the way the Dodgers have done it most of the year is they've worked the pitch count, and they've worked pitchers. We saw them against the Yankees, and it was an anomaly because they didn't work the pitch count. But do you see that is the approach of them going, especially against the Nationals, who has such a great staff?
I think it's got to be. I think they're capable of it. They've done it 95% of the time this year. And good pitching, typically, everybody struggles somewhat against good pitching. So I wouldn't take that as, well, woe is the club. I think that their strength is that they exploit pitchers that cannot throw a strike and throw a good strike. I think as I watched last night's game, and Scherzer was obviously Max effort really amped up there early, was obviously at another degree. Got a lot of high strikes, got a lot of swing and miss up in the zone. Also got some fastballs on the outer half and some breaking ball on the outer half to get Milwaukee to chase once in a while. The Dodgers don't chase too much, and I think as long as they stay in that zone and they make people throw strikes, you'll see a good offensive output by them. They're so capable of it. It's probably the greatest strength that I've seen offensively of this club, and it's not the home runs. It's not the runs scored. It's not all of that. It adds up, but it is really how they approach their at-bats and keeping their mind slow, keeping a calm pulse, and making somebody throw a strike. Corbin, not overpowering. Corbin's going to have to pitch tomorrow. So I think that is another thing. They'll make him pitch. They'll make him throw strikes. Otherwise, you know, even in his good game against the Dodgers earlier this year, I think he walked four. So I think having him throw strikes is going to be a key thing for the Dodgers. And he's got to throw effective ones, not just something inside that zone, but something that they're going to have a tough time getting to. You know, it's been tough for people to do that.
Ned Coletti with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. As you look at the Dodgers, Ned, and maybe this is tough to project, but who might be, if you just look at the whole roster, who might be the hero? Who might be the one to step up and do something, and that was it? Anybody come to mind?
Well, I think, you know, David Freese is somebody that, you know, doesn't get a lot of headlines and things like that, but, boy, he is such a clutch player. And he's somebody that can change a game. Might be one at bat, might be, you know, a game, might be a game against Corbin. Who knows if he plays, you know, in that game. He's got a pretty decent lifetime against him. He's somebody that I think has got a chance to make a difference in that. I think Joe Kelly, if he's completely healthy after missing a lot of time here the last couple weeks of the season, he's another guy that can really bridge that, and you know that he's game for it. I measure players sometimes by how much I didn't like watching them play against the team I was with. And watching Joe Kelly, whether it was in St. Louis or Boston, I hated him. I hated watching it because I knew how game he was going to be for the situation. So he's another one that obviously doesn't get all the headline, but you got two guys that are postseason veterans, not just having played it a lot, but having played it with a lot of success. I think there's two guys. I think Seager, too. I think the way he has hit after coming off of two surgeries, I think he had a great year. And
yep.
He didn't have quite the six-month period that he's had in the past where he was such a dominant player. But you look at his, really, the last 2 months of how he has played offensively and defensively and the at-bats he's taken, I think he's primed for something huge this month.
Hey Ned, do you play Jock Peterson, regardless of lefty-righty?
I'd have to look at that a little bit more analytically. I think certainly against righties, he's in there all the time. He's another guy that's got some pretty bold October numbers.
Yeah.
And this month is not made for everybody, but it's been made for him. I think you got to give him that opportunity. Again, I'd have to look a little bit deeper into how he's fared against somebody of Corbin's style, not just Corbin himself, but the style of pitcher that Corbin is, how he's fared against somebody like that. But, you know, they do have righties in that bullpen, too, that he can certainly come in and play the second half of a game. And do some damage. He is, like I just mentioned a second ago, guys that are really prime for October. You look at his power numbers in that month. If 217 had gone the other way and Game 7 is a Dodger win, he's probably the MVP of the World Series.
Ned, when is the playoff roster due?
The morning of tomorrow's game.
All right, so that's when it'll be set, and then that's it for the division series. No alterations
yes.
there.
No, unless somebody gets hurt, and if they get hurt, then they cannot play the rest of that series or the series that follows.
All right, so we'll know the roster, and I guess we'll know the starting pitcher tomorrow. One final question for you, Ned. Kenley Jansen goes in the game, and you anticipate and Dodger fans hope that he gets the job done and he closes. But when he goes in, do you immediately have somebody up now throwing behind him?
I don't think you immediately have somebody up. I think you've got to respect what he's done in the body of work. I think how he threw this weekend was excellent. I think we've seen more of Kenley with a higher velocity, a little bit uptick in everything, more of late than we haven't. I think you have to manage it as if you would any other time with him. I don't think you protect you protect at this point in time and get somebody up immediately. I think the situation dictates that. I don't think the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks dictates that. I think the situation dictates that. And it'll depend on really what the situation is, I think.
All right. Well, Ned, thanks for jumping on as always. And we'll talk to you. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Beautiful. It's starting. Can't wait.
Here we go. Thanks, Ned. There he goes, Rodney, the man of the big chair, Ned Coletti.
I love it. I love it. I love Ned's insights. He's just even keel and gives it to you. Not always the way you want it, but he just gives it to you right.
He makes a valid point. If the game is close and you get into those middle innings, and we talked about it earlier today, Washington's bullpen.
Yeah.
All right, that's not a strength. So if you can hang in or have the lead and get to that bullpen, it'll be a very different story. You've just got to beat their starters. Their bullpen probably will not beat you.
Yeah, and they'll approach it differently than they did the one game, you know, wild card game where they brought Strasburg in. They're not going to do that unless it's a game five situation and they may bring it in. So, yeah, you want to get to their bullpen, which is their weakness, and the Dodgers got to do what they've done, which is work the count, work the pitch count, get it up there. So by the fifth, sixth inning, that guy's out.
AM 570.
And Rodney, AM 570 LA Sports.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to bust the break. We've got something for you in about 2 minutes. Hey, Dennis, congratulations. You want a pair of tickets to see the excitement of Ducks hockey tomorrow? Get a free magnet schedule presented by Fox Sports. Visit AnaheimDucks.com/AM570. Go Ducks. How cool is this? We ate like kings today. Thanks to this man.
Yes, we did, Fred.
From Doghouse, Adam. Adam, thanks for jumping in here for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure.
You know, big goings on, Dodger playoffs starting, and nothing goes better with baseball than hot dogs.
That is true. I think Los Angeles is actually the largest consumer of hot dogs more than any other city in the United States.
Really?
And nationwide.
There are, neither.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. Dodger dogs help for a lot, and so does Doghouse.
Yeah, and Doghouse partnering with us once again as the Dodgers begin the playoffs, and you have catered today. We're all in the building, and you have some very special dogs this year.
Yeah, so in addition to our classic beef dogs, which we always have at Doghouse, we brought a very special one today called the Oktoberwurst, celebrating kind of Oktoberfest, as we like to do. And this is a third-pound sausage, so it's bigger than anything we have on the menu right now. And then it's stuffed with sort of Cajun spices like andouille. It's made with Firestone, 805 beer, and Emmentaler cheese, which is like a Swiss cheese. And then we're topping that with caramelized onions and sauerkraut and mustard aioli. And this is part of our chef collaboration series. So I developed this sausage, and we actually give $1 from the sale of every one of these to No Kid Hungry, which is a charity that Doghouse partners
and
with.
And you do this throughout the whole month of October?
Yeah, throughout the month of October, the Oktoberwurst. It's available at all Doghouse locations. And every month, there will be a special, we call them an LTO, a limited time offering, that will benefit No Kid Hungry, and we work with different chefs. But yeah, this is mine. I'm very, very proud of it. As you can see, I'm wearing my Lederhosen here today. I'm a big fan of the German sausage making art and all this.
Yeah, for our listeners who can't see, obviously because we're on radio, you are wearing what did you call it again?
These are Lederhosen. This is Trachten. This is the famous in the Bavarian Germany. This is like the traditional garb, and it's basically just like leather suspenders with shorts, and it's just really comfortable and stretchy and breathable.
Yeah,
so.
You're wearing it well.
Thank you.
Does that help you get into the mindset when you're creating these dogs, for, you know, that you're in the lab?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I certainly look forward to this time of year when people will – I mean, you're still going to get looked at odd when you're wearing Lederhosen, but
– To be honest with you, yes, you are.
Yeah, but in October, at least, it's more defensible.
Oh, okay. Understood. Yeah. And by the way, Adam not only created this month's expert dog – You create most of them, don't you?
Yeah, I'm what's known as the Wurstmacher, which is a sort of made-up title given to me by one of the Doghouse partners, Andre Venner, who is of German heritage. And that just means that my job is to make the sausages. So I experiment in my home kitchen, and then we develop all the hot dogs and sausages at Doghouse that appear in all their menus. We have over 35 stores right now. So there's a lot of dog houses, and they all are born in Los Angeles, where I live.
He must be like a mad scientist back there, just create. He got the best job in the world, man.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, it's the kind of mad scientist when, like, the benefit is just, like, eating delicious food, you know what I mean? So it's really nothing that can go too far awry except, oh, this sausage is a little too crumbly or something like that.
Have you made something that was just outrageous and somebody looked at you going, what are you doing, man?
Oh, yeah, quite a while ago, we were trying to see how wacky we could make the sausages, and we ended up putting, like, we made one based on an Irish car bomb, like the drink, and so we had chocolate and graham cracker. Yeah, there was Guinness and chocolate and marshmallow in that sausage. It was kind of weird. Yeah, that was not one we repeated. We definitely pushed it to the brink. But other ones were really good. Like, we did one once, what was ribeye and lobster.
Ooh,
you know, okay. We did an actual surf and turf. That was really great. But yeah, you have to, you know, be not afraid to experiment and see. It's fun to see, you know, what kind of flavors that you can get in there. Like, we do one that is based on, like, a Thai red curry, right? So it's spicy. It's made with Thai curry paste. It has, like, Thai lime leaves and things like that. And then we have very traditional stuff, like your classic broad or spicy Italian. And then we have totally original ones like this Oktoberfest, which, like, is it authentically German? Absolutely not. It's way too spicy for an actual German person. And, like, Germany is, like, very, like, rigid, you know? Like, mm-hmm. They do a thing a certain way, and, like, this is the way it's done. We don't do it a different way. That would be strange, you know? And so, like, we...
I like the accent there.
Yeah, thank you. Good. It's part of the... Right. It's the Trachten.
Adam from Doghouse, thanks for hanging out today. We really appreciate it. Thanks for lunch. Doghouse.
Our pleasure.
35 locations?
Yeah, 35 locations, and plus we're at like 15 like Live Nation venues plus that, so there's a lot of places, including the Rose Bowl out here, the Coliseum, of course, where we've been for like 4 or 5 years, and many other places that you could find Doghouse. Check us out, doghouse.com, if you want to see where the closest Doghouse to you is.
We'll do it. Adam, thanks, and nice lederhosen. All right, we're on it starting at 11 tomorrow morning. Petros and Money are next.